The next item is a discussion on windmill zoning regulations. At our October 5th meeting, the County Council reviewed some proposed changes or possible changes in state law regarding windmills. And Paul Driscoll from Urban Research and Development Corporation, Land Use Planning Group, is here again today to review a revised version of this report. And, of course, Mr. Lank's here also. I'll turn it over to Mr. Driscoll.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
As you're aware, there were certain changes in state regulations affecting windmills adopted by the state in 2009 and in 2010, and Sussex County is now trying to address its zoning ordinance so that that zoning ordinance remains in compliance with state law. Just as a preview here, the state regulations adopted in 2009 and in 2010 refer specifically to windmills that are accessory or incidental to single-family detached homes. The Planning Commission, the county is trying to address that, but also is taking the opportunity at this time to address the whole issue of windmills in a more comprehensive way than it's currently treated under the county zoning ordinance. What we've done in this memo, and I recognize it's detailed and a little difficult to plow through, so I'll try to summarize the highlights. We're suggesting the county adopt the following approach, that windmills be essentially divided into three categories. Those windmills that are 100 feet or less and that are accessory uses. Secondly, those windmills that are between 100 and 200 feet high. And thirdly, windmills that exceed 200 feet. And now I'd like to detail for you the recommendations we make in our memo with respect to each of those three categories. Regarding windmills that are 100 feet or less, we're suggesting that they be permitted as accessory uses by right. For this category of windmill, we're suggesting that they be allowed in all districts and that there be a maximum of one per lot, except in the AR1 district, where there's typically a little more room, and up to two would be allowed there if the lot size that we're talking about is 5 acres or more. Again, continuing with the windmills at 100 feet or less that are accessory uses, setback in our recommendation should equal or exceed height, and that is consistent with the state guideline with respect to these types of windmills. We're saying that the maximum height should be 100 feet, and that's consistent with the existing county regulation. And then for this category of windmills, 100 feet or less, accessory uses, all the other state regulations would apply. And let me just quickly review them for you. There's a maximum noise regulation. There's a regulation at the state level saying no advertising should be permitted on windmills, that certain windmill wiring must be underground as opposed to exposed, and that windmills must be buffered from certain properties that are registered on the historic register. And then, of course, the amendments at the state level said that any regulations that conflict with the above are now void. And most importantly, I think here, there is no conditional use or required zoning review process through the Board of Adjustment may be required to erect a windmill as an incidental use accessory to a single-family home. So all those regulations that we describe in our memo and that I've summarized are consistent with the state regulation. Now I'd like to address the second category of
windmills. One before we move.
Sure.
No minimum lot size associated with this first one you just described.
That's correct, Mr. Cole.
And would if you had subdivisions that had deed restrictions, now state law overrides that, so wouldn't it, I guess?
State law would override that.
So yes. If some take any subdivision that actually had restrictions on on different things. Anyway, they don't count anymore. Somebody could come in and put a 100-foot tower in a...
Provided they had a 100-foot of setback.
As far as 100-foot setback for wherever it is. Okay.
One-to-one. One setback in height.
Okay. And there's no homeowner association covenants that can supersede that.
That's my understanding.
Is that that's right? That's what we're looking at right there.
And no deed restrictions will supersede it.
The specific language in the Delaware Code says that no county or municipal government, homeowners association, or association formed for the management of commonly owned elements and facilities or for regulating use of private property shall adopt any covenant, restriction, deed restriction, zoning restriction, or subdivision restriction which prohibits or restricts the owner of a property from using a system for obtaining wind energy for a residential single-family dwelling unit.
Thank you.
Do we have the ability, David, to put lot minimums like we have now? We have 5-acre minimums. Could we still, as we draft something? My only concern is we got a lot of existing subdivisions that I think need to be protected. I don't mind moving forward with new ones and stuff, allowing certain things, but I'm concerned about the existing nature of some of these subdivisions and properties. And is there a way that we could put like a 1-acre minimum?
Well, the
reason I say that is because some of the manufacturers actually stipulate in their literature a 1-acre minimum is appropriate for their unit.
Well, the Delaware Code states that wind turbines shall be set back 1.0 times the turbine height from adjoining property lines, and that means the height of the tower plus the length of one blade. So if you had a 100-foot tower, you have to be at least 100 feet from each property line. That means 200 feet.
Yeah, I know it's difficult, right?
So, I mean, that's an acre right there, just about an acre, 200 by 200.
Okay, so you don't see and Lawrence, you don't see that as an issue. I'm asking him because you're not.
No, David answered it. Sorry.
Yeah, might as well get up there. Because I don't want to get to a point where we open it up to some areas that are really congested and tight.
Now, well, we, in our discussion and meeting with Paul and drafting his correspondence, we set just by without a calculator, but we came up with basically what Dave said. It's going to be about an acre anyway, because you got to be 100 feet from any portion of that tower.
That is, if it's a 100-foot tower, aren't they putting?
Well, if it's less, it would be a little less. It could. We don't know what the tower height would be.
Oh, yes. So if it was 50-foot
tower,
it'd
be about a half acre lot.
That's what Vance makes a good point. That's as we.
But if it's got to be on
somebody will make it fit, and I know that somebody wants that windmill real bad, and they've got, they go, well, we can't go 100 feet, but we can go back here to 50 feet because the house is only 42 feet. So as long as it's above that house, there's maybe no trees around.
But
so again, I'm real concerned about not having maybe a minimum lot size. So.
But Mr. Rutt is saying that we don't have that authority.
I think we do. We can't put a minimum lot size as part of our ordinance, and then make them a permitted use.
If you read, it says no county or municipal government shall adopt a restriction, zoning restriction, or subdivision restriction that prohibits the use. And it says any such restriction adopted after August 8, 2009 shall be void and unenforceable.
Mm-hmm. Well, my understanding, though, that our current one is enforceable. Isn't our current ordinance of 5 acres?
I don't think so. Not with this.
To build with under 5 acres, to construct a windmill on properties under 5 acres.
In other words, what my understanding is our current ordinance, which says 5 acres or more, you can have a windmill, meets the state requirements.
What doesn't meet the state requirements is the requirement that the county currently has would require an applicant on properties smaller than that to go through zoning
hearing.
Board
right.
of adjustment hearing. Yes.
Right. Well, we can't do that. My understanding is what we have is okay, but we used to open it up for hearings and have variances. In other words, we can't grant variances, but our 5-acre minimum is okay.
Well, our intent is to adjust the regulation in correspondence with the size of the windmill.
I think Mr. Cole is suggesting we'll leave it at 5 acres before we open up every old subdivision to the potential windmills.
Can we do that?
Yeah. Our current regulations are in compliance with this new state law. What we used to do is, again, accept applications for variances or less. And with state, to come into compliance with state law is, my understanding is, we now can't have those hearings. But what we have is fine.
I wouldn't necessarily agree that it's good policy to prohibit them on 2 acres, on 3 acres, on 4 acres, provided the necessary setback is there, remembering that they are accessory uses.
Right.
But because of the box the state has put us in, we can't have either or. We've got to open it up down to maybe even half-acre lots in existing subdivisions, or we got to stick with the 5 acres.
As a matter of policy, you could institute a 1 acre, a 2 acre, a 2 acre.
We could, right,
minimum.
Like we have today, except...
Well, that's not what our attorney
from what I understand...
Well, we'll get this cleared up, okay. I think.
From what I understand is that you cannot enact any regulation that is inconsistent with stipulations that the state...
Right, right.
Now, we have, for example, a 100-foot maximum.
Mm-hmm.
It's been agreed in discussions that maximum is okay because that particular point is not addressed in the state regulations. I would venture to say that establishing a minimum lot size, acre, 2 acre, whatever you want, because it's not specifically enumerated in the state regulations, that it would be okay to do that.
Okay. Great.
And that we would not be inconsistent with the state guidelines were we to do that.
Okay,
that's
was
a layman's interpretation.
But no, mine too. I'm just trying to sort it all out, and I'd like to. I'm just very concerned about existing properties, existing subdivisions, et cetera, and what have you. But I'd also think that without putting a minimum lot size in there, people will make these adjustments and make them work, and then we're opening things up. Anyway, okay, let's move on. Go ahead. But I think my question's been answered, kind of, that we may be able to do it. We'll look into it, right, David? We'll clear that up.
George, I don't know how small they can get because it's got to be an accessory, so you've got to have a dwelling there, so the accessory use has got to be higher than a dwelling. So, how small the lot could get, I'm not sure. It could be a really small lot. It's a half-acre lot, but it's probably close to the minimum.
Right. Well, again, there are some subdivisions out there with large lots. My house sits on a half-acre lot, more or less. So I'm trying to visualize where I live and my other neighbors and how that would...
Windmills everywhere.
And also...
Windmills everywhere?
That's what you're going to get.
Well, no, I don't think they cost too much, but...
Mr. Wilson?
We'll see.
Doesn't noise enter this factor, too?
Yeah.
Yes, it does.
Can't exceed 5 decibels.
Yeah, but once you ring the bell, it's hard to unring that bell. So, I mean, that's where we want to make sure if we do something, like we just had a noise issue with that subdivision up here outside of town with the other thing, and we're not experts in noise. So, anyway.
There are maximum noise limits allowed in the state regulations, and we've incorporated them into these proposed county regulations.
It's not clear to me, though, when you measure those noise levels, what time of day you're measuring, what time of the year, that type of thing. That could be very varied.
Or how much wind's blowing.
And right.
That big one in Lewis, you've seen that big one in Lewis. It's huge. And they tell me they can hear that when the wind's blowing in a certain direction, you can hear it quite a ways, about a mile away, somebody told me. So I don't know. I don't live in Lewis, and I'm never there on windy days.
I presume that there are other maximum noise regulations existing in the zoning ordinance and that the county enforcement of those takes into consideration the things that you're describing.
Well, they also probably, on noise, they probably take an average of windy days, whatever. So what the average is.
The statute says the existing average noise level of the surrounding area.
Whatever
average.
That means.
Good luck.
Yeah, whatever that is.
Better go measure it before we put it up.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you. I keep on going.
Might have to have a practice run.
Yeah.
Sorry to mess up your train of thought.
I'm good. If you continue, please.
Okay. We're okay
capable.
Without Mr.
Yeah, we're good.
Yeah, we're good without him.
All right. The second category of windmills that we wanted to address in the regulatory sense was those windmills that are between 100 and 200 feet high. Technically over 100, but less than 200 feet high. We're suggesting that they be permitted in business and industrial districts, minus the portion of those districts that are under the ES1 overlay. So everywhere in business and industrial districts, and they're enumerated in the memo, except the parts of those districts that are part of the ES1. We suggest further that they be allowed as a by right use within those areas. We are suggesting a minimum lot size for these types of windmills. Now, remember, these windmills have nothing to do with the state regulations because they're not, A, accessory uses, or B...
Okay,
you got that, okay. And then we're proposing for this category of windmill that setback must equal 2 times height. So whereas the smaller ones would be equal to height or 1 times height, here 2 times height. Thirdly, the third category, and these are for the very large windmills. And in some cases we've seen they can be over 400 feet high.
Before you get to the third one, we're talking about windmills between 100 and 200 feet tall and being located in business and industrial areas. We're talking about a B1 district and a C1 district. What are we talking about?
Yeah, they have to have the right zoning if it's a commercial application, right?
Yeah, let me answer your question. UB, B1, C1, CR, LI1, LI2.
That's it, pretty much, right?
Yeah.
So an office building could be, we could have one of those tall ones.
Provided that you have 5 acres, and provided that your setback is 2 times the height of the windmill in this second category.
2 times the height of the windmill.
Yeah.
That means you get a 200-foot tower, you need about 800-foot lot each way, square.
Quite a lot.
Yeah. Well, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to gauge things to the size of the
windmill.
Okay, lastly, for those windmills that exceed that 200-foot height, we would make them a special exception under our recommendations. We would allow them in AR1 and AR2 minus that portion of AR1 and AR2 that's part of the ES1 overlay district. Here, we would say setbacks for these very large ones must be 3 times the height. So we had 1 times height, 2 times height, and now 3 times height for these very large ones. We are recommending that in the case of these large ones over 200 feet, minimum lot size would be 5 acres. And the regulations, the additional regulations that would apply to each of the three categories here are detailed in the memo. We can get into that if you want, but it's there for you to review. And in essence, that is the way we're suggesting the county approach what we've enumerated as three different categories of windmills based on their height.
They must have something else in mind here when they say 3 times the height, more so than the tower falling over on their neighbor. They must have something else in mind.
Well, that's Paul's.
Yes, and I can answer that.
Maybe it's because of noise and maybe because of the site, the way it looks.
It's because of noise. It's because of it's so tall and it does how it looks. And then thirdly, this issue of that shadow flicker. I couldn't describe it to you in scientific terms, but I think it's shadow. It's self-evident what it means. The turbine is going around and they shadow flicker with that.
If the sun was behind it and your property is this way and it's, you're getting these flashing all day long.
Exactly, Mr. Cole. Mm.
I get that anyway.
We won't take a guess at what that's attributable to. I don't know.
I'll talk to you after the meeting. Maybe you know.
We have suggested that if you wish to address the issue of solar while we're on wind, we've given some guidelines for that. Both solar as an accessory use, where basically they're treated like an accessory structure. In our recommendations, they would be allowed to be no more than 10 feet above a building or a sign that they're attached to. If they're constructed separately and apart from the structure, not attached, again, they would be treated like a gazebo, for example, a structure. The same setbacks would apply, heights would apply. And then lastly, sort of a new use, the solar farm. You're familiar with the wind farm. The solar farm is the same idea, except it deals with solar panels, and we're suggesting that they be allowed in all business and industrial districts. and that they also be allowed in AR1 minus the portions of AR1 that are part of the ES1 overlay area. We did not go as far as to propose specific detailed regulations for these because, as we understood it, your main focus was on the windmills this morning.
I got one overall observation, and it's probably the state is what's messed it up, because I think here at the county we've always done this. We've always respected private deed restrictions. I mean, I think there's validity in all that. I think it goes back in, you know, case law and English law, whatever. I'd like to see that whatever we do here does respect deed restrictions, because I know a community can change the restrictions, right, David?
Yes.
Any community. So I understand we all want to feel good about, you know, helping the environment, but I'm sure if a community says, you know, we don't, we'll do it other ways or whatever. I just think that I'd love to see a way that Sussex County Council, we've said numerous times we respect property values, et cetera, et cetera.
As I understand it, you would be able to do that for the Category 2 and Category 3.
Right. Exactly right.
Not for Category 1, because you'd be, in that case, in conflict with the state.
We would have to go back and get to the state,
yes,
to lobby that, which will be, what, January they get back in business again. That would be my only observation at this point. I think we're moving in the right direction. I like 2 and 3. I'm just concerned about number 1.
Oh, my.
At this point, before we spend any more time and money, shall we try to lobby the state of Delaware and the legislature with the issue of our concern for respecting deed restrictions in private subdivisions? Anybody got any thoughts on that? I mean, I'm just saying I think we need to do this, but I don't know if we want to rush into something now and start putting together an ordinance, and then all of a sudden we say, we come to loggerheads on some of these issues, and we have a public hearing, people come and say, wait, you can't, you know, I bought into this community because of certain things, and I want those protected. So,
with that, I guess a question for the attorney. With that, picking up on George's thought, that would then pertain, I would assume, to anything that's existing as far as deed restrictions, because the way that state law, well, I read the state law, you couldn't have a new development today and restrict it. You couldn't develop something today.
I don't mind new rules starting now. I'm concerned about the existing.
Am I reading that right?
Well, it even goes further, because it says that no prohibition against or restriction on wind energy systems for residential homes inconsistent with this section and adopted prior to August 8, 2009 shall be effective. So this is brand new. There's not been any case law I was looking to see.
Right.
And but as you read it, they're essentially saying that all restrictions are voided by this statute.
But so, again, David, I my reading or my understanding of it is what we have today is in compliance.
Well, I don't know about that.
I don't know if there's a gun up to our head here saying we have to do something today or the next 2 weeks. I would like to again get maybe some more opinion from the staff, the legal staff, and if there's concern here with the rest of us about
yes,
private deed restrictions, I think those are important.
Very.
When it comes to land use in Sussex
yep.
County.
So
yes.
Today, someone could not go into planning and zoning
for less than 5 acres.
For less than 5 acres.
Exactly. Which is what it's always been, except we've used to provide a variance for those people.
Mm-hmm.
We can't do that with this new law, is what I understand, right?
Well, leaving that in place is going to give us some leverage with the state to negotiate the proper terminology for their law if they adjust
it. If we can leave it in place.
Well, we can. I think we can. I think sounds like we can. So anyway, Dave, you got to tell us or Everett or somewhere, if you make a note to,
yeah,
are we okay the way we are? Are we in compliance? And then the second thing is January, we are in the short term, we got to decide, do we want to protect and try to protect private deed restrictions, or do we want to just adopt something like Paul's saying it's a permitted use, you know, everywhere if you meet these certain standards?
I think Mr. Driscoll's done a good job.
No, no.
Because he's working on what the state law is telling us that we have to do.
Right. Absolutely. I agree.
I agree with George. I think there's something to be said for the individual rights of people who bought into the development that said you couldn't do this or couldn't do that or restricted by something to say now.
Now my
neighbor, even the state's saying we don't care about that. Mm-hmm. It gives us a good argument, I think, to go to Dover.
Well, the complaints will come here.
Right.
Yeah.
And I do understand there's people out there who it might be very good to have wind power, mm-hmm. and they don't own 5 acres of ground. They own 4 acres or whatever. And I think that's a good move that direction. But it needs to be something done fairly and across the board to everybody. And it's such a good idea.
Well, we're into October. We're not talking a lot of time. No. January, we can see if they're receptive to changing, then we'll know immediately. We can lobby the guys who are up there. And I think early January, we should know if there is a willingness to change or we got to do something here.
Well, and I think by the time
then we get Paul to fine tune this.
Right along what George is saying, I think, because Mr. Baker and I were up there the last night when they approved that thing, but this pretty much, at least my understanding that night we talked with people, this pretty much came from Denrick, were the people who were
pushing it.
That
I believe so. I think there was some.
I guess
very
what I'm saying
interesting
is maybe it would give us an opportunity to have a conversation with Secretary O'Meara or whoever and see if there's some movement on their thought to work with us.
Yeah, sure.
It certainly would be a whole lot better for us to go with them to get it changed. Let's go by ourselves, probably, then fight it or whatever.
Right. The main concern is the homeowners associations not having the ability to regulate the windmills.
To honor what's in their covenants or whatever that
existing homeowner.
Yeah, existing. Existing.
Will you?
Okay. That makes sense.
I think you've done a very good job. I think that you will be called upon to work with the county staff and talk to the state.
Thank you. Okay.
Folks,
one question, please.
Yes, sir.
Are you at this time interested in reviewing any proposed regulations for solar?
Sure. I mean, why
not? Yeah. No. Go ahead.
People want to do that. Why? Yeah. Why not? Sure.
There could be some similar issues. I know, again, private deed restrictions on some of these communities don't want that stuff.
We hold up on windmills. We proceed with solar for your review and comment.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just for comment, sure. Yeah.
Now, does it make any sense to encourage the state to rescind their law and just allow us to modify ours? I mean, what we're doing is basically subjugating county land use decisions to the state if we're going to allow them to put in place and state code these particular ordinances, if you want to call them, that pertain to land use.
I don't know if we can stop them, but I'm just saying I think we can encourage them not to do it and tell them why, and then I think we have good reasons. I think we could send Dave or Everett or Vince up there and explain to them why we think restrictions are important.
Sure.
And I think we can make a good argument. I don't think what Dave and Mike were talking about when you were up there at the legislature, nobody's, hearing that.
No, that's correct.
And it sounds good. It feels good. So let's do it for the environment type of stuff. So I still think there's a good argument to be made that we can protect private deed restrictions and still provide for this.
I think we have to.
So if we can do that balancing act and convince the legislature, we ought to be able to get it done. So.
Okay. I think the staff understands where we need to go. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anyway. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.